Hi, good afternoon. I'm Nicola Lorenz. I'm originally from Germany, and when I came to Ohio State, I was lucky enough that Richard Dick was approached by our sponsor, X-Spectrum, and they had observed potassium deficiency in corn, and they couldn't make any sense of it because the soils still tested sufficient for potassium. So they were curious about maybe the microbial biology would be an important factor in that potassium deficiency. So I present here the data from the first 3 years of our study, and we did a 2 years field study, and I have to say that all the data, I'm very thankful and want to mention that Michal Vojno, he did most of the analysis and that did really a great job. And the project was started, and the company gave us some background information about the corn potassium deficiency, when it was observed in the fields, and how we might gonna approach the analysis of the soils, and that the potassium nutrition of the corn was really very abundant in fields where they had used glyphosate for a long time. So, talking about glyphosate, yesterday we were already pointing out that we cannot, in this case, we cannot say which glyphosate formulation they used because it was a long-term field application. So we all know that glyphosate is just the active ingredient, and there are different glyphosate formulations out there, and they might affect the microbial community differently. So here we are dealing with a field study, and the farmer might have applied glyphosate already 20 years. And all we know, they applied it 1 to 3 times annually. And mostly that corn that showed the deficiency was in rotation with soybeans. And the soybeans are usually now Roundup ready, so that will be a higher application rate. Usually they applied the glyphosate up to 3 times a year. And so what they have seen, that potassium deficiency was occurring more in the no-till soils. So, and as I said, they tested them all positive for, there was enough potassium available for the plant, but still the plants in some locations showed the potassium deficiency. And I have brought 2 pictures, and you can see the corn and also the soybean recently also showed potassium deficiency signs. And so what they told us, that the landscape position was very important. So mostly in lowland positions, in depressional areas, were the sites in the field where the potassium deficiency occurred. So we thought, of course, maybe there's more clay, more expendable clays, and that might fix more potassium. The more clay we have, maybe more potassium is immobilized. And we also have seen that those sites or those spots on the field have more carbon. So those spots in the field tend to be colder and wetter during the year. So maybe that would have added to the problem of potassium deficiency. And the timing is also quite distinct. So the farmers have seen the potassium deficiency in the V4 to V7 growth stage of corn. That was our background information. And as we all know, glyphosate is used heavily in agriculture. It took off really 10 years ago when they introduced the Roundup Ready soybean. But technically, it's used, especially in no-till soil, since 1976. So that's the background. And we all know there are benefits and there are downturns to glyphosate use. Of course, we have to feed the people, need food. And of course, we know that those, also those herbicides, really increase the yields. And so that is an important benefit. But the downturn, we have to say there are some studies out there that say glyphosate is really a high risk because it can cause cancer. And also we know that there are already so many glyphosate resistant weeds out there that it might be really a problem in the future to deal with the glyphosate resistant weeds, sorry. So we were thinking about glyphosate, and we know in the literature there's a lot of information out there. What is glyphosate causing for the crop and for the soil biology and the soil chemistry? Is it changing something? And we know there's resistance out there, and we know also that the yield is in some cases lower in the Roundup Ready crop than compared to the conventional crop. And for the soil chemistry, we know in some countries it's still not allowed to use glyphosate, especially in Israel, for example, where it's really too wet and too risky to use it. So Monsanto will say, okay, glyphosate will decompose very quickly, but there are some soils where it's not decomposing. So, and then also, we know from some studies that the soil biology might be affected in different ways. And in our case, maybe we were thinking also of pathogens, so we did one study on that also. So our idea was, because of the background in the literature, we came up with this conceptual model that the glyphosate is applied to the plant and very rapidly leaks out of the root because it's really very, very taken up very rapidly by the plant, and really has many studies have shown that it's leaking from the root. And then there we think it might stimulate fungi in the soil, and those might be taking up more potassium and kind of a competition to the plant, and those may be also be responsible, those fungi, to transfer the potassium onto the clay minerals, and that might be an immobilization process that is important for the plant and causes the deficiency. Of course, there might be another pathway that the fungi transfer the potassium to the soil organic matter, but we think maybe that's less important because it might be really higher available for the plant still with the pathway two compared to pathway one, where we might think of a stronger immobilization of the potassium. So that was our idea, and we came up with some hypotheses that some unique soil characteristics and landscape position might be really important and explaining the potassium immobilization. There is the question about the clay. We have more clays. We have expandable clays. And then, because maybe we are increasing the microbial biomass or the microbial fungi, we have higher potassium concentrations in the microbial biomass. And the other hypothesis was also, because the observation was we had similar exchangeable potassium in the deficient and in the sufficient location on the field, that we have really a similar exchangeable potassium. So that's the soil characteristics we wanted to test. And then we think that the corn potassium deficiency might be triggered because we have a fungal dominance, and maybe we have some more fungal pathogens, and we were focusing on Fusarium. And there are studies out there that have shown there might be a correlation between glyphosate use and increased Fusarium pathogens in crops. So our objectives were to identify the site characteristics, the clay concentration, the clay mineralogy, and the potassium pools. And then the second one was to determine the impact of glyphosate on the microbial community composition, especially the fungal biomass and the Fusarium. And so we selected some sites in Iowa, Illinois, and Ohio. So those were from growers that have seen the potassium deficiency since a couple of years. And so we went out there and sampled the soil. when there was no plant growing before the growing season. And then the most important date we thought was before the deficiency occurs, because the main driving factors might be really appearing before the plant shows the effects of the potassium deficiency. So we collected soils in the V4 growth stage in June and in 2 years. And then we collected soils in after the V7 stage. And in the bottom slide, I just wanted to show in August 2008 the soybean. Right now, I'm just showing the corn data, but this soybean picture was so nice to show that really the soybean growth in the right picture, it is under deficient conditions, so that's really very poor. And in the other picture, you can see a higher growth of the soybean. And so we did always the paired comparison under corn, potassium sufficient and deficient, and then we sampled in two depths, 0 to 5 and 5 to 15, which is important in the no-till soils, because usually you have an accumulation of organic matter and nutrients in the upper 5 centimeters. So, and then the methods we used was to characterize the clay mineralogy, soil texture, exchangeable potassium, non-exchangeable potassium. And then I forgot to say, in the last sampling date of each year, we collected also corn leaf tissue to correlate the biological data with the leaf tissue data to see if there's any correlation. If the corn shows deficiency in the leaf, is that somehow correlating to the biological data? And so the biological data we obtained was soil microbial biomass potassium. We developed an assay for that. We used the fumigation extraction procedure and calibrated the efficiency of the extraction. And we got a flush of potassium, and then we established a conversion factor to get a value for the microbial potassium. Then we used a well-known technique, FAM analysis, to characterize fungal and AM fungi biomarkers. And so then we did also some soil DNA extraction to eventually get an idea about the fusarium diversity in the soil. And to show you the first slide, that was really disappointing. So with the clay mineralogy, so far we couldn't see any difference in clay mineralogy. So it seems like the deficient and the sufficient site on the field have almost the same mineralogy, so there's no difference in there. But with the clay concentration, we could see really in 6 out of 10 sites we collected the samples, we could see a higher clay concentration in the deficient location of the field. So saying that maybe there we have a potentially higher availability of potassium, but maybe in this case it was an immobilization of potassium. Here I show you the correlation between the total FAM and the microbial potassium, and as you can see, the more microbes we have in 2 sites, we have more microbial potassium. And then the next slide shows you the correlation between the corn tissue values and the soil values, which I explained earlier on. And the disappointing part was that the microbial potassium, the first 2 lines, didn't show a lot of correlation, and only 1 was significant with the potassium value. And the hypothesis we had, the more potassium was in the microbial biomass, the less is available for the plant, and the less tissue potassium we have, was only true for 2 sites where we got a negative correlation with the tissue and the microbial biomass. And the rest of the correlations were highly significant and positive with the potassium, which is understandable. The more potassium we have, the more is in the plant. And then the hypothesis that we have more fungi in the soils that were deficient had to be rejected. There was no increase in fungal biomass in the deficient site. But for 1 site, I want to add, we saw an increase of the AM fungi. So for 1 site, we could say, okay, there was a deficiency for the plant, but the AM fungi was very high, so the plant wanted to make up for that deficiency. And we all know AM fungi are really closely associated with plant roots and play a role in potassium nutrition for the plant. So, and then we did some DGGE fingerprinting and cut out unique bands for Fusarium. And here I just wanted to show you briefly, we got some two really, very bad pathogens, Fusarium verticilloides and Fusarium graminearum, we found in the soils, and all the soils were treated with glyphosate, so we might think there is an indication that this glyphosate use increases the Fusarium abundance in the soil, and this is what we want to test later in our next phase of our project. So the hypothesis here in red, then it had to be rejected. And so we have seen the positive thing we have seen, we had more clay in the lowland areas of the field. We had sometimes a higher microbial biomass, biomass potassium in the areas where we had potassium deficiency. So there might be an competition for potassium with the plant. And the corn potassium deficiency is not triggered because we have more fungi in the soil. That was not true. And we have seen some fungal pathogens. And to go more into detail and to make it more specific, in the next phase of the project, we want to apply 13C glyphosate on Roundup Ready corn and soybean, and then see how we can track the signal in the PLFA fraction to see which microbes really are involved in the glyphosate cycling in the soil. Thank you for your attention.